great to have Chris Fry and Brian Allen join us from the Spartan football team. New year. Happy New Year to you both.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it's great to have you with us. You're both leaders, not only on the team, but across campus. I know, Chris, you play a role in a group that I have in trying to lead not just our football program, our athletic department, but the school in a positive direction. Talk a little bit about your experiences so far on campus.
Yeah, with football and the academic side, it's really hard for us as athletes to be able to get out and do things with the community and together as athletes and as a community of Spartans because of our strenuous schedule. So with your leadership group, it's easier for us to find a time as a group and be able to come together and brainstorm ideas and bounce ideas off of one another of how we as Spartan athletes can come together and impact not only the other athletes but the students as a whole. And I think it's really helped a lot of people, a lot of athletes to better themselves and to try and help better this the Spartan Nation.
Yeah, I think he serves with a group of students from a variety of different sports, and it's great to have. One of the things I heard first was it's nice to spend time with athletes from other sports because there really hasn't been as much of that environment to talk about things that maybe there's differences and sometimes most of the time similarities in the approach to school. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that, and there's a lot of diversity in that group. You know, with the different sports, I know for football there's a lot of diversity within the team, so it's easy for us to interact with each other. But moving outside of football, there's, I don't know about the other teams, but there's a lot of diversity within that group of athletes that come together, and I think we all come from different places and different mindsets, different backgrounds, and it's easy for us, like I said, to bounce ideas off of each other, whether it's with our academics or with our schedule, with our sport. I think it's easy for us to have very different ideas but come together to make one great idea and what we're doing.
And Brian, it's always good to have a big brother kind of help you with that process, but coming from Chicagoland and coming to Michigan State, give us just a little brief synopsis of your experiences here.
Yeah, my experience was, you know, different for, you know, that every other football player has just because they don't have a older brother to, you know, help them and show them the ropes, or when you get sick of dorm food or just looking to get out, I had a place to escape to. So my situation was probably a little better and a little easier just to kind of smooth in and, you know, get used to being in East Lansing, just having him here. So if I ever needed him, it was just phone call away or a nice couple block walk to his apartment just to, you know, hang out or do whatever, or have someone to talk to when, you know, things get tough, just because, you know, starting college for everyone's a, you know, it's a different time that, you know, people aren't used to, and, you know, a lot of kids have to figure it out on their own, but, you know, having, you know, him and just older kids on the team to look up to and, you know, bounce stuff off of was really helpful. So
I know both of you have the talent to be pursued to play professional football. One of the stats I was astonished to hear is 25% of the NFL turns over every year, that there's a constant churn. And the preparation, you hear it from our academic support, you hear it from coaches. The pursuit of life after football is something that's critically important. How do you go about that approach of getting that degree, of trying to learn things beyond the boundaries of football? Is that easy to do? Is it difficult to do?
It's very easy. Yeah. You know, no one comes in, no football players come in and say, oh, academics isn't important. You know, that's just not a thing anymore because everyone knows that, you know, the NFL is a realistic opportunity, but at the same time, it could be very short-lived. And even guys who were on our team last year or the year before are already in and out of the NFL. So, you know, just if you're a young guy, you see that. And, I mean, you should come to college and want your degree, but seeing that just, you know, inspires you more. And, you know, it's just a good to, you know, have a major with something you like to do and something that can, you know, set you up to do something outside of football. So for me, I would say the first eye-opening experience was like my freshman year when guys, you know, did their pro day, they made a camp, and then they got cut, and then that's it. So, you know, some guys' NFL careers can last 3 weeks, and then that's it, football's over. So it was tough and, you know, cutthroat as that is, you know, you need to have a, you know, another plan and another thing to, you know, just have for you with the rest of your life. And I think that's where, you know, the degree comes into play.
And for you, what is that? What's your passion beyond football?
I'm still, like a lot of kids, don't really know what I want to do, but I'm an economics major. But no, I just want to do something in business, and that's pretty broad, and I just think that'll give me, you know, an opportunity mm-hmm. somewhere along the road when, you know, football does end, so use that. So.
We will talk about football in a minute here, but
there you go.
Another question coming back to you, Chris, is there are a lot of conversations that are going on right now about time demands for all student-athletes, and I'd like to get your perspective on the pace, everything from training table, practice, doing the things that, you know, when I walk in and I talk to the freshmen, I say, how many of you are going to play in the NFL? I think in the freshmen, it's probably 99% of the hands go up. So it's getting that aspiration that football is an important part of the lives of individuals that are on that team. But I think as time goes by, and especially when you get to that senior year, there's an understanding. Is the time, are there things that you would like to see adapted, tweaked, as you're talking to, there's probably athletic directors listening to this show, and
so
presidents.
I think when it comes down to it, you know, there's a lot of extra work that goes in that a lot of people don't see when it comes to every sport that we have on campus.
Right.
And football's, for us, it's an everyday thing. It's a year-round thing, and, you know, it takes a lot of our time. But in the end, if you don't love this game, then you shouldn't be doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes down to whether you love it or not. And I know for me and Brian, especially, we love this game, and it's what we want to do. And we're going to do everything we can to try and take that to the next level. And if that means being here at 5 o'clock in the morning every day, we're going to do it. And that life's not for everybody. So, mm-hmm. you know, for other people, yeah, I mean, that there could be different strenuous things that, you know, they don't like and they want to change. But I can sit here and say that, you know, I can deal with it, you know, and whatever comes with it and whatever aspect of the game it is that we have to take on and the different times of the day that we have to do it, we're going to do it because we want to be great and we want to take this opportunity that we have and further it to the next level.
And at the same time, you're a college student.
Yeah.
And are you getting those experiences? You are in the classroom. You are in the tutorials and studying. Are you getting the experience as a college student that you feel like you want to get as a young?
I think, especially with our football program, Coach D'Antonio is enabling guys to be able to do things outside of just football and school. You know, for different guys' majors, they have to have a certain amount of hours as an internship. And during the summer, he allows guys to take a little bit of time off of football to do those hours and get a job and work those internship hours that they need. And then we also offer the study abroad, sports and down south or whatever.
Down
I can't,
under.
Down under in Australia. And
down south is like
yeah, down
Florida.
Under, yeah. So I know that within our football team and with the down under, it allows people, it allows student athletes to be able to have those things that some other athletes might not be able to have in other schools because sure. our coaches and our academic support staff allow us and give us the opportunities to further our knowledge and better ourselves outside of just football and our school and our tutoring. They give us different things that we can do.
One of the things that I struggle with, so in these conversations, and let me use an example of a pianist. Okay. We have people who are studying music or studying lots of things that are really good, and they practice enough to be really good for right now, but they don't want to play professionally. And we have people who then see their life in front of an orchestra, or they see their life running their own company. And those are the kids who are either at the piano or over in the hatch, you know, spending hours and hours constructing a company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I struggle as I listen to your aspirations to be both getting an education and to play at the next level. When the funnel gets really narrow, like the pianist, or the entrepreneur when only 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 make it. Some of that time you spend is because of your passion for your future, not because it's somebody's telling you to do it. And others' time is sort of you're telling you to do it, and if you don't do it, then you're not part of the group, or you know, you're not one of the guys, or and there's that kind of peer, sometimes coach pressure. I struggle in the time demands question figuring out that difference, because in some cases, if you want to play in the NFL, you're going to have to stay in really good shape whether I tell you to or not,
mm-hmm.
because that's your passion.
Yeah.
For those guys, sometimes who don't see it that way and they have other interests, they might get ready nearer the season. I don't know how to think about that versus coercion and pressure to do it. And I constantly struggle with those issues. And part of it is just the people you're around.
I think the way and that whether, we look at it, yeah. too, though, is, you know, there is the things that, you know, across the country, there's a certain amount of hours that we are allowed to have a week. And, you know, that's the way that... You know, those guys that, you know, they want to be on the team, they want to, but they don't, might they might not see themselves playing in the future. They are set, those are the set hours that they have to do. But the guys that really see themselves playing at the next level and doing things at the next level, they take extra time out of their day. They do extra things to be great and do those on a regular basis.
Do you think I should tell you not to do those things because of time demands? Because that's a little bit of the discussion, whether it's your
choice.
Whether it's your choice, yes. I lock the door on the gym. That's one of the proposals. I lock the door, you know, so you can't pick up a football
I would
and
say,
throw. I mean, I'm just.
Yeah.
I would say we have a team full of people who want to be sitting in the orchestra, not people who want to do it now and figure it out later. So, you know, being at, you know, Michigan State on our team, there aren't a lot of people who don't want to be, you know, the best piano player in the orchestra. We have a team full of guys who. Very few kids on our team would, like you said, all the freshmen, they raise their hand. If you ask the question of the whole team, everyone's going to raise their hand. It's just not everyone's, you know, been blessed with those athletic abilities or whatever it is, but everyone is working towards that and, you know, the common goal we have just to be as the best team we can be. So just the mindset of kind of wavering, it really doesn't – there's not really, you know, a spot for it in, you know, Division I athletics at least because – if everyone's not going in one direction, that's when, you know, things start going south.
Mm-hmm. So for me, the important things are you're pursuing a degree. You're getting something viable, something of value that's going to take into your future. You're perfecting your passion about a sport that you love, whether it be golf, in your guys' case, football. But you're also acclimated into what this campus is all about. And what I found when I was at Michigan State is what I learned outside the classroom was almost as important as what I learned in the classroom, and that's being in social environments, learning how to deal with people. In today's world, putting the phone down and talking to somebody, are you getting those kind of experiences?
Yeah. As you know, athletes, it's harder just to communicate with students who are, you know, regular students, but I think my freshman year I probably had trouble with that the most. But, you know, this year I've probably found out that I'm hanging out with more people who aren't athletes as opposed to athletes. So just good to have other friends, and me being from Chicago and, you know, Chris from Ohio, a lot of our students are from Michigan. So people tell me they're from West Bloomfield. I have no idea where that is, but, you know,
they don't
just,
know
where Hinsdale. No, yeah. So I've made a lot of friends just, you know, throughout the state of Michigan and just connections that I wouldn't have, you know, if I hadn't come here and, you know, put myself out there just to meet new people and try and experience new things, you know, when we get the opportunity to. So,
all right, Chris.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing for me. You know, you come here as a freshman, and for me, my experience is a little bit different than Brian because I graduated early and came in January. So it was actually me, Matt Sokol, and Andrew Foster, who is no longer here, and he transferred out. But, you know, it was the three of us, and most of our classes were together, and we sat together, we hung out together, and we did everything together because we were the only people that we knew. So it was kind of hard for us coming in early in the middle of the year, not knowing anybody in our dorm, not knowing anything around really. So we spent a lot of time together, but as time goes on and, you know, as I go further into my degree, I'm an advertising major. So a lot of my classes are actually group is a lot of group work. So it allows me to meet a lot of new people, a lot of different backgrounds, like I said earlier, a lot of diversity within a group. And it allows me and helps me to be able to communicate with different people and be able to read people and what they like and what they don't like, how to communicate with them, whether they're a more formal person or laid back. And just allows me to use my skills to be able to communicate with them. But like Brian said, I mean, he comes from Chicago. I come from Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, when I tell people where I'm from, they're like, oh, that's terrible. Ohio this, Ohio that. And, you know, it's a little different, but, you know, it allows for me to use my where I'm from. It allows me to be able to communicate and use that, yeah, to talk to somebody.
One of the reasons I put the group together, and again, it's about 25 student athletes, it has the appearance of so that you can communicate with each other, but the selfish reason is I can learn from you guys on where we're headed and what we're trying to do and what we should be doing different. And that's why I throw out, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I want the group to try and initiate some new things, because that's where those of us that are in the roles we're in can take that wisdom, help guide it, but really learn. And, you know, that's something I would throw to both of you all the time is as your seniors moving up through the program, continue to learn from the freshmen, but more importantly, or as importantly, lead the freshmen and have those two things going together at the same time, because it seems like our classes are changing faster and faster.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of has a little bit different take on life, and yet we're all striving for the same objective.
So as you look forward to next season, we learned a lot of resilience last year. Lots of challenges, both personally in terms of you guys being injured a bit, and collectively in terms of the absence. So what does that do for you for next season, and as you think about those new freshmen coming in and your leadership roles as statespersons and elders?
I think it motivates us to be great. You know, we had our hiccups throughout the year last year, and we struggled for most of the season. I think we started out the season strong, and then injuries started to settle in, and you know, things started to happen. But I think looking forward to next year, we have to figure out a way to persevere and keep working after things happen, to be great and to keep whatever we have going moving forward. You know, if things aren't going bad in the first half, we have to figure out a way to be great in the second half. We have to figure out a way to pull out the games that are close and win in the fourth quarter, which is something that we didn't do last year. So looking forward to next season, you know, as Brian and I are moving forward as seniors and leaders of this team, I think one of our main goals is to be able to bring the team together as one. You know, to have guys we've been the last week we've been working on something a little differently. Coach D showed us a video the other day about millennials and how
these are the young kids.
Yeah,
you're the old guys, and these are the young kids.
You know how people
purpose
are
being bag and free food, right?
Is that video? So it's
purpose being bag and free food.
Yeah. So you know it's about guys. The main thing that we took from it was, you know, it was the cell phone part. You know, so when we go to training table every night at 5 o'clock, everybody walks in the door, they check their phone and they set it on the table. And, you know, we try and sit with different guys that we don't normally communicate with, because everybody communicates with each other on the team. And, you know, it might be just hi or say something to them here or there. But, you know, this is an opportunity for us to really get to know the other people on the team and know where they're coming from. And like anything else, talk to them about what's going on in their life. So, you know, we're really focusing on trying really hard to bring everybody together and just be very solid as a complete team, and not have like just different groups of guys, and not communicate with a certain group of people as much as you should.
Along that, I had an opportunity to visit the White House, and they have a box outside their primary conference room when you go in the West Wing, and there is a box with little slots where the phone goes. And I asked the individual, "Is that a security issue?" And he says, "Not a security issue, it's a focus issue." Mm-hmm. That they want everyone at the table focused on what the conversation is and to have absolutely no distractions. So it's at the highest level of government, very similar, that you want to have conversations, you want to know about people's lives, you want to know what's going good, what's going bad.
We're all struggling. I just met with the ASMSU, the undergraduate student leaders, before I came over here, and we talked about their you know, juniors and rising seniors, and how freshmen are different.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time talking with people about they carry their world around on their phone, and they don't bother to assume that the world is different if it's different on their phone. And it's hard work because you grow up with the phone. I do now more and more, and it was one of my New Year's resolutions.
Yep.
To be less tied to the phone, and maybe I can have shorter meetings.
Great.
Because I pay better attention, but also just because it's more respectful to those around us. I get to have a chance to learn more about them instead of my phone and asking them a question about, like, yes or no, did you make that tackle? Yes. and I think it does deal with that. But, you know, the other thing last year without, you know, you can never make excuses. But it was an interesting year in terms of, as I watched, it was hard to figure out if we had the same people on the team, on the field at any given time for continuity. Yeah. And that does require more understanding of one another as a way of combating the continuity question, because you all practice in squads and you have A teams and B teams and scout teams, and they tend to spend more time together. And I think that's why what you're doing this year can be very, very valuable, not simply for football, but for life.
Yeah.
I mean, Brian, I think when you talk about, you know, distractions and attention to detail, the smallest thing, one play changes a season.
Yeah.
But it's that focus on the smallest of things and eliminating the distractions that really have the potential to develop championship teams. Do you see that?
Yeah. You know, just a lot of people don't understand that, you know, plays come down at times as little as, you know, inches. Just if one guy on the offensive line doesn't do his job and takes a step a little bit too far that doesn't set up his next step, which doesn't put enough power into the guy, and he's in the wrong spot, just that mistake alone with probably 2 inches could, you know, turn a 5-yard run into a loss. So the Coach Manning always says the devil's in the details, and you know, that's something that really, you know, really is exposed on a football field. If you don't do everything right, you're not going to be successful. So, you know, just the pressure of doing that every play is, you know, what you need to do to be successful.
People can maybe see the work that Chris does a little bit clearer on the TV set than, yeah, Brian, the work that you do. If I wanted to better understand being an offensive lineman, so I could really appreciate the great, yeah, skill you have, footwork and talent and the thought that goes behind the role.
Yeah.
What would I look for as a fan? What would you want me to see that shows really the complexity of your role?
It's hard to really, you know, grade out like an offensive lineman on a TV, just because, yeah, like when we watch film, if you tried to do it on a TV, it'd be impossible. Mm-hmm. You need to see, you know, the, mm-hmm, end zone view just to see everything. But I think if you're just a spectator at home, and if an offensive lineman's starting a play on a guy and ending it on a guy, he's doing his job for the most part. So if you see an offensive lineman just standing around anywhere in the play, he's probably doing something wrong. That's the easiest thing to pick out, you know, as a fan or someone who's just watching. So, but there's so many little things that people just won't understand about offensive line. It's like trying to talk Spanish to people. So, mm-hmm, it's hard to explain, you know, me and my tackler doing a deuce block here, and no one knows what that means. So it's just
if a parent had a son who wanted to play offensive line, do you have advice for the parent? You've had an older brother who's given you advice along the way.
Yeah, well, usually when you're young, the kids who play offensive line are a little heavier than Chris was in the first grade. So I didn't really have a choice when it came to playing offensive line. It was kind of my spot I, mm-hmm, was bodied into. So, but, you know, it's football, any position's a tough position, but, you know, playing offensive line, you got to be a little tougher just from the start. Kind of everyone, you know, runs around as a little kid, and that's the only position that, you know, is always, you know, every play you're hitting someone. You know, there's plays where, mm-hmm, DBs and wide receivers are just running around, and but that play, that position, every play demands, you know, some physical aspect, and know, just requires, you know, mentally tough people that are, you know, willing to run into someone full speed every play. So just toughness is what it comes down to.
But I also think that as I understand the work that you all do, there is so much skill to being a lineman. Yeah. That I think it's important for parents to understand that it's not just because somebody happens to have a genetic makeup that makes them bigger than everybody else in their class, that there's a mental mindset that you're talking about in terms of detail that you have to be really smart to do really well. It's not just because you're big. You have to be really smart to do it. And you have to be really agile to do it in footwork and other kinds of things. Because those are really split-second decisions in some ways to make that difference. And I think sometimes we tend to think about different positions as having different intellectual capacities, particularly for parents who look at their kids and see all the glory that goes to the quarterback, let's say. But the roles that you play because your body type lets you be really good at it require that same kind of skill and intellect and agility that's just not seen on TV, which is why I asked you the question.
Having the film orientation, probably the best way is to singularly focus on one lineman for a series and just watch where they go, watch where they pull, watch what they let go by on purpose sometimes or what they miss. Yeah. And it's almost like a dance. That's fun to watch if you can focus on that.
Yeah.
Which is where the teamwork part comes in, because it takes all of you in the right spot to do that. And is there a linebacker mentality?
Be crazy.
I'm just asking the question, Chris. I'm not asking that for, because people have these stereotypes, and I would guess that if someone saw you today with your academic glasses on, they would probably say, boy, that guy looks like a really great student. He's probably in science, and he's not in advertising and those. I mean, because people have impressions about
theater, maybe.
Yeah, but people have impressions about folks, unfortunately, because of the way they look. But there's all linebackers have this sort of kamikaze.
When I listen
to people describe you, when I watch your away games on TV, they talk about these attitudes of players. And are those real, or are you develop them, or is it sort of?
I think it's honestly like when you get to this level, it's just something that you have inside of you. I think for guys like me, just any of the linebackers, but you know, when you hear about like some of the coaches will say like last year it was like me, Riley, and John Reschke, you just bring this different attitude to the table. Mm-hmm. You know, when you put the pads on, and this Coach Barnett always says the other guy comes out. You know, he's just a different person on the field. And you also hear Coach Barnett always say, you put those pads on Saturday, you let this other guy out, and you know, the mentality that you bring to the field, your mom won't even recognize. You're hitting people out there and your mom doesn't even recognize you because you're going so crazy. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's at this level and this game, it's something that you just have to have inside of you, because without it, it's really hard to love this game. And
Well, I'm proud of both of you, and it's not just what we see on the football field. More importantly, it's how you two carry yourselves across this campus and across all the communities that we get to go to. It's fun to watch you interact with other people, and we're blessed to have you be Spartans.
Thank you.
And apart from what might be the image, you guys are great human beings, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go Green.
Thank you.
Go Weiss.
Okay.